do you want to go with just the four of us, or do you want to wait for another guy because you hate one of us? Or...
it's got to be unanimous if it's only four of us.
That's right.
Did we get one?
Did you read it?
All I got was this.
Package?
This is all I got emailed.
Oh, we got a whole email on last Thursday.
I didn't get that. All I got was this.
You should go grab it. Pack it up there.
Yeah, that's all I got. I didn't get the rest of the package.
You should have grabbed the rest of the package, huh?
Yeah, that's what I got.
I got some weird defects out of my printer.
Oh, look at that. Nice.
That came out in like 5 pages, 6 pages. It's pretty thin stack of paper. It's half size, but it works.
Can you read it?
Yeah, but it's hard to get around, you know?
Yeah, right. Oh, I know. I printed somebody's drawings today, and I did that by accident. Both sides, and it was like...
Yeah, but I'll figure it out. I hope. I have reviewed it anyway. So.
Yeah. All right, we're turned on? Okay. We will bring the January 7th, 9th Board of Adjustment meeting to order. And, I guess we start with roll call, so we'll just state our names.
Thorne Clark.
Steve Moore, Chair.
Jeff Gustafson.
John St. Pierre.
Since there's no public in the audience, I'm going to assume we have no public comment. Unless, Jimmy, you have something you want to bring up before, other than what's on the agenda?
No.
Okay. Yes, we have no public comment.
Good joke.
We're being recorded. So we have one item on our agenda tonight. This is...
Before we get to that, can we do sunshine resolution?
Oh, you want to do that first? Okay. Yes.
We don't want to do minutes.
Oh, we have to do minutes too. Yeah, that's right. We need minutes. Sorry, I was jumping right in. So we got sunshine. Do you want to do minutes and then sunshine? Doesn't matter to you.
Let's do sunshine and minutes.
All right. Where is that guy? I printed it. Okay, might need another. Yep. So do I have to read these? I don't know how that exactly works. It's been a while since we do it every year, I know.
You can just say that you're motion if you are.
So have you board members had a chance to read this? The sunshine resolution?
Yes.
I guess then I'll call for a motion.
I move to approve the Sunshine Resolution.
As written?
As written.
Okay, we have a motion to approve as written. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a second. All those in favor of approving as written, do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. And I'll sign it. Okay, I guess the next thing on our agenda is to... review the and approve the minutes from our last meeting, which I believe was December 2nd, December 12th. Do we have a motion?
I move to approve the minutes of our meeting of December 12th.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the meetings of December 12th as written. We have a second?
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor of approving the minutes as written, do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. I found my... All right. Now, we have one item. It is the petitioner, Amber Shields and Matt McCullum, a 3-foot property line setback variance, Lot H, Canyon Valley Ranch Subdivision, filing 340605 Hill and Dale Road. It's approximately 5.5 miles east of Hayden in the AF Zone District. It's a required 50-foot setback and a 47-foot proposed setback for a 3-foot variance. So, applicant, please state your name clearly and provide us with your information, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
name is James Stegmeyer, my engineering. I represent Matt McCollum and Amber.
Shields.
Shields. And the circumstances surrounding this are that the, let's call them the Columns, purchased this land a few years back, looks like about 2012, and this property, I should say, and it had a damaged structure on it when they bought it from a landslide that took the lower part of the foundation and dismantled it, cracked the slab. So when we came in to do a repair building permit for the foundation, it tripped the wire for planning to look at the setback situation. So we had to have an ILC done to show that it was actually at 47 feet. This is the back corner of the set property, or set of the house, I should say. You have in your packet one corner of it. You can see the line going through at the 50-foot mark, and for the survey, the house sits 2 3/3 into that set. Okay. So, prior to our foundation permit, they did get a demo permit to remove the modular that was on the building because it was a disarray, you know, people looking under it and stuff. And at this point, the bank found it. So they got a permit to demo it. They didn't have to have a site plan at that time, so the non-conformity was not caught. So once we did the foundation permit, we supplied a ILC. That's when the information was first known that this was non-conformity. So non-conformity happened in 1995 when they placed the foundation under a building permit. It was not caught by the planning department at that time, and so it just went through. So we wouldn't be here, obviously, if the house was in good shape and they didn't need to do any work on it. So they would just be living in it. The damage to it caused the original owner to kind of walk away from it. I think the bank owned it for a number of years, and it just sat there, and then these people bought it, thinking all they had to do was really fix up the foundation. Can you go to the slide here?
This is a site plan.
Okay, that's the site plan.
Do you
have the foundation one?
It feels like this is not on. I actually think about this. Yes?
Yep, that's the one. So, you know, as in your packet, the original foundation is what you see, and when they place the thing, that's where the nonconformity happened. Down here is where that the slab of the earth actually moved downhill and kind of took the whole foundation and cracked the slab right across the thing. So what we're doing is rehabbing the foundation now. To say this thing is not really here is obviously not true. That's what planning said, that we have to look at this variance as if the building's not there, but it's there. Okay, and to move it out of this setback would be a lot of work. You know, you could chop off the corner right there, but if you put a modular back on, you would have to do more work to make that corner work as a non-leaking structure or whatever. So, in my feeling, this particular circumstance is brought on by our government's not being able to look at stuff back in 95 as well as we do today. So I think that's pretty much how it happened. But it doesn't happen very often, and it's kind of a unusual circumstance not normally encountered by the county in AF zone district. So it seems to be kind of a peculiar thing, but I know that you had one just last month that was very similar in nature to this one, as far as the original house was placed in the setback, and it actually happened to have a modular, and the guy wants to build on it, going straight up, but he's in violating of the setback, so you guys have granted him that variance on that, whatever distance that was in that particular house. That distance right there represents about 5% of the 50 feet for what that's worth, if you can somehow justify this violation. So in order to move the foundation, as I said, we would have to go through a whole new dig, because the reason that it slipped down the hill was there's a coal lens in there that's kind of slippery, and it gave way. So the area right around here is all susceptible to that. So it was redone. I would have another soils engineer come in and tell us exactly what we had to remove or whatever. So the amount of work that it would take to replace this foundation would be three times the amount, even today's standards, to do so. Of work, of course. So I guess, and there is another place that a foundation could go, and it could go way down the hill. There's going to be driveway and electrical movement and septic movement and everything else. Again, I don't think that approving this foundation, this variance, is going to affect anyone at all. The neighbors cannot really see the property, the closest neighbors, and there's a neighbor across the valley that can actually see it. But there are rules that the county has set up to live by. I just believe that this is an unusual circumstance and it should be allowed to go through.
Okay. Watkins, do we have any correspondence that's not in our packets that you, the county, has received that we should know about?
No,
sir. Okay. Let's go into a board discussion. Let's talk about this a little bit.
You put the piers in where it cracked?
Yes, we are putting in drill piers and helical piers.
Well, actually, Tyvek.
We're
just curious.
There's going to be a soil nail from a company. I think it's going to be Anderson.
Okay. So I just want the board to know, too, this particular piece of property, in my practice, I inspected this home a couple of times for different people, including the bank. I believe I may have talked to the folks who Jimmy's working with now. So I'm very familiar with this site. So I don't think that's a conflict of interest for me, because I have never really talked to these guys.
But you have more knowledge.
I'm just disclosing to you guys that I've been to this site, and so I have...
So what we're talking about is probably, what, $15,000 repair versus $50,000 to $60,000 replace the foundation?
At minimum.
If
you try to replace it, as I said, you have to over excavate, because no soil engineer is going to sign off on this now.
Right.
We got one to say, well, this is what we would recommend to do.
And that doesn't include probably new wall and a new septic system since you're moving here. That's what.
Steve, can I make a few comments?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
I want to remind everyone that the five criteria are what we're looking at, right?
Exactly.
It has to meet all five of them. And as you can see, money is not part of it. You can't take into account the fact
I understand.
It's just just about peculiar and exceptional practical difficulties necessary and reasonable hardship involved in export. And for the history, Mr. Stegmaier actually did a pretty good job talking about how it works and what brings applications to you guys. Building permits is one of the main ways. This foundation, the previous house before it was removed, was permitted in 1995. Because there's no site plan in the file, we don't know whether it was approved erroneously or whether it was meant to be in a different place and the contractor put the foundation in the wrong place. But unfortunately, we have to go by what the facts are on the ground, you know, as they're presented in this building permit. And obviously, it's inside the setback, even just a little bit. We need to also look at this as if this were a new development. And I know there's already some things there right now, but this has been our policy for all variances that we've looked at. We don't want to incentivize people building it in the wrong place and then coming back to ask forgiveness. So we need to look at it as if we were planning in the first place to put this foundation here.
And I have a real question about that, Watkins, because in my mind, we're granting a variance for an existing foundation. That was a question I had. Should we really be breaking this into two variances again, the way we did last time, the last meeting, when we had existing non-conforming structure, because the foundation is a structure by definition, and then another variance to grant for to build on top of the structure.
I think if you approve the motion as it's written today, it will allow for this future development because that's part of the plans they presented to you all.
Okay.
So,
what future development?
Well, the house, the home.
This home is going to be built on this. You'll improve the foundation, and you're going to use this.
Put
a modular back on that. Yeah. Okay. It's what I assumed was going to happen, but
yeah. You said that. So I guess the reason I'm bringing this up, Watkins, is you know you're asking us to look at this as if it was a bare piece of ground, and yet it's not because we're going to grant a variance to an existing structure. So again, I think Mr. Fitzgerald brought up the point last meeting that if we ignore ignore the existing structure and say that we're going to treat this as a bare piece of ground, it gives the applicant, and we deny, it gives the applicant a right to appeal because we're ignoring something that exists. And I think that's a strong argument. And I personally can't do that. I just can't ignore that something.
First of all, there is always a right to appeal. It is a 5-day waiting.
That's not what I said. We're setting up the appeal by saying we're ignoring an existing structure, and yet we're being asked to grant a variance on an existing structure.
Right, and that's a concrete in the ground is an existing structure.
It's a structure.
It's not going anywhere.
You cannot put a 10-foot or a 9-foot.
They're talking about repairing something and then putting a new structure. A new module on top.
So from that perspective, I mean, I'm not sure how to. I understand the incentivization, and you don't want people to come in and sort of do the bait and switch thing. And if the McCullums had built the house in '95 and had had foundation movement problems, and then had to come in to repair it, and it was the same owner, I'd be more inclined to. Well, then one of the criteria just wouldn't work all the time. It'd be cut and dry. We wouldn't even be here.
Isn't it required now before you pour to get a survey of your exterior perimeter line before you pour the concrete and quarters?
We do not require surveys.
Rock County doesn't require that?
I'm speaking from a planning perspective.
It's two different things, John.
Okay, well, that's what I mean, that's where point. Somebody could come back and say, or try to pull a fast one.
Well, and the county building department now has that you have to sign a statement that says that you will inform.
Okay.
And I would guess that someone pulled a tape, down the hill.
And, it doesn't really matter. So we have to. I agree with Watkins. We have to deal with what's there.
I got a couple questions.
Okay.
And an observation, I guess. I think that people will avoid paying a surveyor if they can and cite their own structure. And
how do you
if,
know this?
I just, something I sense, I guess. So I think that if you don't have accountability anywhere, I think that you're still going to have places that get built in the setbacks. So I got a couple questions. You put a modular on top to chop off that rear corner, you know, it would cost some, but I think that you could conform to the setback above ground and save the entire foundation. You'd lose a little bit of your structure going vertical. You know, that corner top off.
Yes.
That could be done.
That could be done. You have a have to do something about the whole.
Just a question.
Sure.
Isn't that what they did last time? On that last time we
looked at it? No, it was and then I guess another question maybe for Watkins. If we grant a variance to the setback, will that be a permanent variance, i.e. if the structure disappears at some point, burns down, is destroyed in some manner, will the setback still be 47 feet there?
They will, but as one of our standard conditions reads, it's plan specific. So the setback will still be 47 feet, but it would apply only if they rebuilt it as it had been before. So if they want to build something that looks entirely different, 47 feet, they would need to come back in for a new variance. But they could maintain it, they could pull building permits for other things, like interior remodels, they could do all that, if they want to change the plans,
Can we grant a location-specific variance, i.e. one that just carves out that corner from the setback? No, actually, I guess it would be very close. So we're going to make this variance right at this point.
That's the only thing we need.
That's not the way we've done things in the past.
Okay. And I don't know if there's any. I guess I just asked the question. That's all I have.
How do we bring Brian into the meeting? I've never had a board member walk in partway through.
Let's acknowledge the record
that
Brian's here.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, Steve.
Good to have you.
Yeah, came up from them.
Oh, wow.
And
for this?
Now we can have a...
No, I was coming on anyway.
Okay.
But not who you're doing, by the way.
Okay, so
getting back to just one question that is regarding the modular, you know, if we did chop off the corner of the modular, that would just be another unusual thing that the owners have to do in order to comply. It's brought about by this unusual circumstance that our violation would have to
existing structure or not, I find in the findings of fact, staff can't find a way to get around criteria one or three. Can you address those? The hardship is, as far as a setback variance, I don't think I've heard a hardship.
Well, I've addressed the hardship as if we had to move the foundation.
And I think there's another way to address the setback. So.
The hardship would be, if you've ever had to deal with modular companies, they don't do changes very well. So it would probably be better if it was stick built, and then you're imposing a different type of requirement on on them than what they were trying to do, which was just basically replace the existing modular. That's what we're trying to do, is just replace it.
I have a question. Did they get a building a demolition permit from the county building department?
Yes.
They did. And that allowed them to remove the building itself.
Right.
But it doesn't trigger a site review when you have a demolition permit.
It doesn't, because demolition permits are obviously removing things. So, so when we approve building permits for something, even if it may be unrelated, it's kind of a tacit approval of all the structures that are shown on the site plan where they are. So that's the power of the building permit. But the same does not apply for a demo permit. And obviously, you wouldn't, it would be a catch-22 situation if you had a non-conforming house that you wanted to demolish, but we wouldn't let you demolish because it was non-conforming. So, different situation.
Okay.
Getting back to your question on three, or I guess it was staff, so they couldn't find an answer for that, is that, I think it is actually an historic exceptional situation that the building was put in the setback, the slope of the land right there, you could have moved it out, but it wasn't. It is where it was. So, but this thing doesn't generally occur normally occur in the county.
I might argue with you.
No, but you probably would be a surveyor. You would see a little bit more than us. But there's probably a fair number of these out in the county from the 80s and 90s, maybe even before, that aren't being recognized because they aren't required, they're not applying for a building. And those people are still living in their places in the exact location that they are.
Is that 35 acre lot?
35 acre lot.
So, I guess, Jimmy, part of the, and for everybody on the board, and I understand where Jeff's going with this, and I tend to agree with him, that, there is another place where this house could be on this piece of property outside the setback, which is different than there is no other place on the property other than in the setback to put the home. And I think that the intent of number three is what that means, is that, and it's the property itself. It's not the fact that the house is on the property.
I agree that there are other places.
So there are other places. So that's a...
But how do you apply that to an existing structure?
Well, and that's...
That is
an interesting question.
There's the rub, so to speak.
Yeah, because I guess and Watkins, right back to you guys. I mean, you're asking us to look at this without, as if there were no structure here, and yet there is a structure there. So I'm not really sure how we can do that.
If you were coming to you saying, I'd like to put this house that's just a little bit inside the setback, and is that okay because of these reasons?
Yeah, but this isn't new construction.
So let me ask you this question then. If we were to grant us a variance for the existing non-conforming structure, it's existing.
Can I ask one more question?
I'm not sure how to...
If the applicant appeals, who does that appeal? Who do they appeal to?
It goes to district court.
Okay. Yeah. This is because we're a quasi-judicial body. And so these rules that are these criteria for approval, these are state. These are not mandated by the county. These are mandated by the state of Colorado.
Basically.
And, you adopt them, but they come...
Change them a little bit, but
they're basically the state guidelines, correct?
Yes.
Can I ask you this, since to bring up old decisions, but I have to, last month when you granted very similar in a situation, how did you get past number three?
I believe the applicant was able to show us why the home was in the place it was in. I don't remember exactly.
There was a sidewalk and stairs that was in the variance, and there was a little, not very big piece of it overhanging.
It was going to be removed.
And when they rebuilt it, they were going to basically do a fake corner.
Actually, it was. Yes, they actually modified a little bit of their plan to conform more to the setback.
But the entire side of the house is in the setback.
I guess I'd have to, but
I know that he's one of my clients as well.
Right. Yeah.
I think there were some master plan policies that they pulled out of that.
They did. They had some different arguments than were being presented to us here.
Well,
and I think we have to really just stick with what's going on here, because this is, you know, this plan.
In my mind, this is an existing structure.
That's how you
do it. And I did a development where I had 200 modulars, or I was more than that, 226 modulars, and I can tell you dealing with the modular companies is a chore. They're square, and that's how they transport them.
I understand that.
And to me, this is... this is an existing structure. It's an existing foundation. Otherwise, we're telling them to destroy it and, completely remodel.
I don't see where we're telling them to destroy that foundation, and I don't see where dealing with modular companies, sure, I imagine that is difficult, but we're not telling them to rip the foundation out.
Okay. Can I say one last?
Sure, absolutely. Please do.
Another question of existing structures. Not to beat it to death, but I would recommend that we follow what we've done. That, you know, it's kind of our policy that we follow what we've done with our other variances in the past, which is deal with it as if it were all in. But I can talk to Chad directly, and we can look at scheduling a kind of work session to discuss this topic and see if we need to make some changes.
Okay.
It's just an idea.
That's a staff comment anyway that doesn't have a basis either in statute or in the city ordinance.
And this is county?
County ordinance, sorry. That would be a county resolution.
Right.
So it's kind of a gratuitous statement.
Well, I don't want to go in too many circles. Thor, you got any questions for us? You got any comments on this?
No, it's a tough one. I mean, you've got two different scenarios here, but the reality of it is you've got a foundation that is going to be improved upon. The foundation that was, Jim, was this recently surveyed, the site?
It was recently surveyed this summer.
Was this past summer?
Maybe in the fall.
Yeah, prior to that, I guess there was probably no documentation of that property line or limits of where exactly that house was at in 95?
Yes.
Back when it was built. This is something new that we have essentially uncovered, and the client wants to improve that location. I don't see, given the area and where it's at in the county, I don't have a problem with it. If it was more dense in population where that area is and the location, yeah, I might think differently.
I just have a hard time figuring out how I'd make a motion. And
yeah, it's tough because we're set to a criteria for approval, yet there's a just like a little kink in this one.
I agree. Brian, do you have anything to add to this discussion? I know you came in.
For what it's worth, we tried to contact the closest neighbor there, the one that shares that property line, see if they would swap that 6.4 feet somewhere else, and they said, go away. So, just didn't want to think about it.
Has the neighbor been approached about adjusting the lot?
That's what I was just saying. He was approached, and they're trying to sell their property, and they don't want anything weird going on with their straight property line to go something strange. We proposed to swap, you know, get enough to make this legal and give them back whatever. And they said that it sounds messy. Again, I understand the criteria for approval, but again, this is an existing structure that we were trying to replace and make better. And it is a situation that does not generally occur in the property zone district. So,
John, you got anything else?
I just keep looking at number three. To me, there is an exceptional situation.
And I could get by that three does not necessarily, it doesn't look to me like it could, has to be interpreted entirely in the context of shape or site of the, or topography of the site. I.e., if you look at the exceptional situation, it does not occur generally in other property in the same zone district. I guess we hope it doesn't. So
we all hope it doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of value in reusing the existing foundation, and I think you could do a lot of monkeying around to try to.
Maybe that work session would be a bad idea.
Build something that needs it. However, the foundation exists, and that's the part I think that, you know, based on the time I've spent on this board, I'd be more inclined to grant a variance for an existing structure, which would then allow us to build above that. So that's kind of where I'm leaving it. And I think that there are arguments for approval. For all the criteria. Any other discussion? Seeing no other discussion, I'm going to call for a motion.
Make a motion that we approve it based on the findings of fact. Although item number one, there is an exception, an unreasonable hardship here. And on number three, again, that
should
be an exception.
Go through all the criteria since we're recording this, John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So you should just state your reasons for why you want to, why you're proposing to grant this variance.
Number one, that there is an exceptional practical difficulty with the property. Number two, circumstances creating hardship were created subsequently through no fault of the appellant because of the present nonconformity was created before 2012 when the owners bought the property. Number three, again, that there is an extraordinary acceptable situation that this is an existing structure. Number four, the staff, the variance if granted will not diminish the value, use, or enjoyment of the adjacent properties nor curtail desirable light, air, open space in the neighborhood, nor change the character of the neighborhood because of the proposed structures far removed from all other nearby houses. And number five, the variance is not directly contrary to the intent and purpose of this resolution or the Rock County Master Plan, as there are no apparent conflicts with RZZR standards or RCMP policies.
I have And you should probably address
the conditions. Yes. Conditions would be as follows. Number one, the building will shall comply with all applicable requirements of the Rock County Building Department. If the construction of, number two, if the construction of the building does not commence within a year, the variance shall be subject to another review with full submittal. Three is approval specific to the plan submitted in the application. Any change in footprint, size, height, or site location that increases the level or nonconformance will be subject to a new application. Minor variations that do not increase the level of nonconformance can be approved administratively without notice. Number four, best management practices shall be utilized during construction to prevent erosion and drainage flow onto adjacent properties, drainage to the east of a parcel and county road right away. A grading and excavation permit will be required if necessary. All lighting will be downcast and obliquely shielded. And number seven, revegetation of disturbed areas shall occur within one growing season with a seed mix which avoids the use of aggressive grasses. See the Colorado State University Extension Office for appropriate grass seed mixes.
All right, we have a motion to approve with seven conditions. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. All those in favor of granting the variance, do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. All those opposed? I think we have a unanimous decision. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. What modular company are they going to use?
Which
modular?
Yeah, this existing structure stuff. This is killing me.
Yeah, me too. It's hard.
I don't have a lot of patience for people that can't get stuff in my place.
I'm sure you don't. So,
yes, I have my foundation.
Well, because I think it would be great if we could do a work session. I think you should talk to Chad about that.
That's a great idea.
And I know at one time we had that on our agenda item to have a work session.
We'll schedule it for time,
Ken,
which is also another option.
Sure, I think that'd be a good idea.
We're trying to discuss the direction for the staff to treat this.
We're going to do a work session for just our board. You know, we just have questions about some of this. Looking at the property without, as if the structure wasn't there when we're actually being asked to approve it, an existing structure is hard. I'm not sure what the right answer is here, and I think we just want some help.
Doesn't make sense.
So before we get in any further, I just need to, so let me do that. And otherwise, do I have a motion to adjourn? Unless we have something else.
Just to let you know, the agenda is waiting for tonight. Right. But I think I explained to everybody that we can't because of the county attorney had to go out of town unexpectedly, so some family issues. I also did want to, Chad was telling me, wanted to share with you guys this article that was interesting that applies to you guys. It's about this article from last week about that project on Lincoln. Lincoln is an
11th,
I think?
Yeah.
Where the city's process, they had to get a whole bunch of variances
right
to be approved also. And as you guys may know, the city's being sued over that decision. So that decision's appealed to district court as it is with us. And so this article was about the decision of the judge. The judge thinks the council failed to lay out its facts and findings that supported its approval, is one thing the article says. Judge Schill recently issued an order remanding the case back to the council to give it a chance to present the facts and findings she found to be lacking. So I just thought it's interesting. It's a reminder that it's very important the way we do findings of fact, because if they're erroneous or if they're too vague, that is a grounds for someone. If someone didn't like the decision, they could come back and sue. And, you know, in this case, the judge said, yeah, you're right. You didn't do well enough. And it also says in here that the judge did not find statements included in the city's staff report to be sufficient, so we're under the microscope too for that.
Right. Yeah, but I read the article quite closely.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
That project is.
I also noticed in that the judge criticized the city planning commission for not swearing in.
That's right.
The people who were making statements, but I've never heard that on this board. I've never known.
It's a rule that they have that's written out. Okay, I got that in an article.
Right.
We do not have that before city.
But people can appeal the approvals that we make as well as the denials.
Yes,
correct. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. something to keep in mind. Because this circumstance is similar to what we saw tonight.
I know that.
And so we did talk about it, and it's a good thing that we did.
No, I agree with you. And I think that, looking around, I think I'm the only one on this board that's been here for a while. So it would be good to have another training, and I would welcome that. So,
yeah.
I was here for the last training session.
Yeah, I missed that one. But.
I don't know of any other variants that we have scheduled yet, so I don't think we'll be having one next month. You know,
okay.
There'll be something else coming down the pipe at some point.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, whenever the county attorney is available.
Jimmy, thank you very much.
See you, Jim.
Good luck with your boiler.
Thank you.
Whenever the county attorney is available, I think it would be a really good idea to discuss the comment by staff.
If you wanted to do this on a Monday,
that there we can't take into consideration that there's improvement on the property.
Yeah, I think and I would. I don't know that we have to wait for another board meeting for another application to come through. As long as it's on a Monday, on one of our regularly scheduled times, I think you throw it out there, and if people can do it, you just judge the response.
Yeah. So we want to have it if you guys are able and willing to take the county attorney's time and all that. So
I think if you're going to get the county attorney here, and we have that, I know I, as long as I'm in town, I'll make it. But just like any other time, you throw it out there. So.
Yeah.
You're also always welcome to come talk to Chad if you have questions about process. You're welcome to call up the planner whose project it is. Especially to not to get any new information that's not in the packet, but to just discuss and try to understand better what's presented. That's okay.
Well, now we've had two in a row that this has come up, so I think this would be a good time to address this.
Yeah.
This thing about this, you consider it a vacant piece of land.
That's difficult. That's
when there's actually, it's not a vacant piece of land. That's, I'm not sure how to do that, honestly. So.
And actually, that comment was not made when we were considering the improvements for, what was it, the water district?
The water district? No, it wasn't. You're right. And that was the one down in Yampa. Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, and there were existing improvements there. Yes, we took it into consideration.
Right. Okay. And so, anyhow, perfect.
Have we adjourned?
No, we haven't. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Sorry, I was late, folks.
It's all right. Thanks for coming.
It's all right. Great to see you guys.
I was in Arkansas last week. I ran into a couple of these. My grandparents said that they met you. Trail somewhere.
Oh.
In Arkansas?
It's a small.
I can't remember what it said.
They are, that was that the old couple, John and Linda Fordyce? So we're hiking this spring doing the Pariah River Trail. You guys ever done the Pariah River Trail? You ever hear of it? It goes from Utah into Arizona, ends in Lee's Ferry.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's 191 road that goes. Anyhow, it's 40 miles, and it's part of it is a total slot canyon. Anyhow, we're hiking along one day, and here's this old couple sitting.